Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, our guest is Frank Woodbeck. He heads up a department that not a lot of people hear about, but is very influential. It's the Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Dick Gamick, Stacy Woodbury, and Allison Golden. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal, and technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program for the first time Frank Woodbeck. He is the director of the Nevada Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
You know, the 60 Minutes piece about a month or so ago that focused in on ClickBond and the need for skilled people in the manufacturing area really clued a lot of us into something that we didn't realize, which was that there are needs that are not being fulfilled in the state. There are good jobs that are going unfilled because we don't have the training for them. How does your department play into all of this?
Well, under the, as we've reformed the process, if you will, and that's a very good example. What we're trying to do now is to form pilot programs that will allow for us to add certificate programs, hopefully offered by the community college system, that would provide for entry-level training. In that particular case, that's a 16-week program called Right Skills Now that was brought to us by the Manufacturing Association here in the state. And they said that we could use that particular training program to train CNC machinists and possibly provide entry-level opportunities for those who are unemployed or underemployed. My first challenge to them was, okay, where are the jobs after we provide the training? I said, we'll provide the training. We'll pay for that. But where are the jobs going to come from? And they turned around, they lined up 21 manufacturers, I believe was, or machine firms, and including ClickBond. We decided that, okay, we will provide that training. It's a 16-week program that we started at Western Nevada College in February of this year, or last year, I'm sorry, and started with 18 people. And we graduated 18 people after 8 weeks at Western Nevada College. They went to internships at various companies and ended up employed after those internships were completed. We're trying to replicate that process across the industry sectors chosen by economic development for growth throughout the state.
This is what the governor's plan is.
That's what the governor's plan is, exactly. Through industry sector councils, and this particular one came through the manufacturing sector council. And so during all of 2012, we were in the process of establishing the sector councils, getting them active, and then asking about pilot programs such as the Right Skills Now, where we could identify opportunities for entry-level opportunities and certificate training where we could place the unemployed and underemployed in that training and get them into work.
How are you coordinating, if you are at all, with organizations like the AFL-CIO that has such a high unemployment rate in the state?
Well, we'll talk with all organizations. And certainly the AFL-CIO obviously has a very good handle on where some of those problems exist, and I've had those conversations. Wherever there's an opportunity to train individuals, cross-train individuals out of their current unemployed area into employment, we're looking for those right now.
Frank, you were appointed to be the director of DITR back in September of 2011. As the director, you oversee four divisions within DITR plus the Equal Rights Commission. Right. Kind of going to what Sam was talking about, in addition to that, you sit on the governor's Workforce Investment Board. You've kind of talked a little bit about what that investment board does, but can you speak more at length in terms of its mission, its goals, and the role that DITR plays in the Workforce Investment Board?
Okay. Let me start by giving you a little historical perspective regarding the Governor's Workforce Investment Board. The Workforce Investment Act of 1998 called on each state to establish a governor's workforce or a statewide workforce investment board. And within each state, workforce investment areas that were generally defined geographically by whatever industry or industries were dominant in various areas of the state. We happen to have two workforce investment areas, one in the north, which is based in Reno, one in the south, which is based in Las Vegas. The workforce investment areas at that particular point had local workforce or have local workforce investment boards that are overseen by the local elected officials from the municipalities that are responsible for the investment of Workforce Investment Act funds.
Right.
That's kind of the overview. The workforce investment, the state's workforce investment board, is to oversee those expenditures and oversee the investment of Workforce Investment Act dollars in training for employment. And what has happened over the years is that the governor's board was not as active in that particular process as they could have been by statute, and what we've done is reformed that process. The governor's board has 35 members on it. At least by statute, 51% has to be from private industry. And the remaining members are local elected officials, state elected officials, representatives of the Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation, whatever state that might be, Health and Human Services, Economic Development, K-12, higher education, youth activities, and social services. What we've done here is take that a step further, and we matched the, as far as the industry representation is concerned, we matched the eight industry sectors that economic development is pursuing and have at least one representative from those industries, each of those industries, on the governor's board. And the governor has reformed the board and appointed a new chairman for that board. And we'll meet for the first time on Thursday.
On Thursday. Yeah.
And so the governor's board will more robustly oversee the expenditure and investment of those Workforce Investment Act dollars in this state, which is approximately $30 million a year right now.
And actually, let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back with more with Frank Woodbeck after this timeout.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
Look who benefits from Nevada Mining, because mining contributes to products that touch our lives every day. Sensors and airbags and smoke detectors. Lime, gypsum, and copper for construction. Lithium for our smartphones and hybrid car batteries. Gold for life-saving medical equipment. And computers wouldn't work without products from mining. Products used all over the world come from right here in Nevada. Mining supports Nevada's families and their dreams. Visit our website and learn more.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Frank Woodbeck. He is the director of the Nevada Department of Employment, Training, and Rehabilitation.
Frank, in addition to sitting on the governor's workforce investment board, you also sit on the board on economic development. How do those two boards interact with each other? What are their common goals and common missions? And ultimately, what's the dynamic between those two boards?
Okay. The missions of the boards are the departments, really. Mm-hmm. The economic development, the Governor's Office of Economic Development is pursuing new business and new industries that they can bring to the state to advance our economy, basically. Our department, in terms of workforce development, is in support of that effort to develop the workforce to support those industries that we're trying to attract. And the first question that any company asks when they're coming to the state or looking at the state is, do you have a qualified workforce that we can hire? We want to be able to answer yes to that question. To that end, we are establishing or have established industry sector councils so that we understand what a trained workforce in that industry would look like. And for example, healthcare. The healthcare industry sector council is about 27 members. It's chaired by the Vice Chancellor, of higher education. And basically what they're looking at is where the medical industry is going, the healthcare industry is going, and what service is going to be needed and what that trained workforce is going to look like. Well, to come back to us with is our department, and we're in support of that council from an administrative standpoint, they'll come back and let us know what is going to be necessary to provide a trained workforce for whatever industries and companies we're attracting in the healthcare industry.
Okay, let me just break in here, because obviously Obamacare is going to have a huge effect on Nevada, and one of the biggest problems is that we don't have enough primary care doctors, we don't have enough nurses to go along with the anticipated increase in Medicaid patients. Mm-hmm. So are you involved at that level in working with the university system to be able to create programs to bring more training to the state?
Exactly. Whatever is needed by either economic development, and we're in lockstep with higher education also, by the way. And higher education will create whatever training programs might be necessary, whether they're in medicine or in information technology.
So where do you plan to be?
Basically, in one, financing some of the programs that have started and pilot programs, being part of that decision-making process as to which programs we might need and where we would find the people and a pipeline of people to train for this workforce. And to that end, we have established or are establishing career development centers on the various community college campuses so that folks who are looking for an opportunity to get retrained in another area have an opportunity to see where they can get that retraining, what type of retraining they might receive, and through skills testing, what they might be qualified to do. So we're working in collaboration with higher education, with economic development, in many different ways and on many different levels.
Let me jump ahead and look forward. We're just a little under 4 weeks away from our next legislative session. Mm-hmm. There's been obviously a whole bunch of bill drafts that have been requested, and there's been quite a few bills that have already been introduced. One of them comes from the Employment Security Division within DETR. Mm-hmm. And this bill is seeking to establish, quote unquote, a program of shared work unemployment compensation. At least 18 other states have set up what are commonly referred to as work sharing programs. What can you tell us about these work sharing programs in terms of how they work, the benefits to employees, employers, to DETR, and to the state?
And we've got about a minute for you to do that.
Okay.
No pressure.
Yeah. In brief, if a company had to change its mode of work and actually trim its staff or trim the number of hours that they were working, they could actually trim down that staff and actually have a work sharing arrangement under which the person could still receive unemployment benefits and still be working partially at least instead of being laid off entirely.
Okay.
That's in brief what it is.
Okay.
So we've got about 30 seconds left here, and I wanted to ask you the big question, really. You know, it seems to me, and observing, that we have about 100,000 people in this state beyond what we have the employment capacity for. Are you optimistic to be able to get 100,000 jobs into this state over the next couple of years, or are these people going to be faced, a good percentage of them, with having to move to other places?
Well, a large number have moved to other places already,
right?
Particularly in the construction industry, and we know that. Now, as far as the rest, we are... You're about right with the number. And I don't want to steal the governor's thunder, but the governor's goal has been to create 50,000 jobs.
Right.
And we have been creating jobs. I won't get into the numbers. As I said, I won't steal any thunder. But we hope to have, and it has been increasing in terms of the number of jobs being created. Whether we'll meet the 100,000 number, that's a tough number to meet, quite frankly.
And if you were to be able to meet that, how many years would that take?
I can't answer that intelligently, off the cuff. I'd be more than happy to talk with our chief economist as to how long
okay,
that might
send
take.
Me send me an email. I'll give you a call.
I'd be more than happy to do that.
Listen, thank you so much for being here. This is the first time we had you on the program, and I really didn't realize how huge the scope of your job is. So, and all the compliments are coming to you for doing a great job. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, thanks.
And please come back.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Unlike anything you've seen before, The Eldorado presents Magique, starring Kevin and Caruso. Enter a world of spectacular illusions that will astound you. Call 786-5700 today.
Is chronic back pain inhibiting your lifestyle and your quality of life? I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. At ProSpinal, we specialize in a revolutionary, highly successful treatment known as non-surgical spinal decompression.
My leg gave out on me, and I knew something immediately was wrong.
I found this technique works especially well for disc herniation, disc bulge, sciatica, stenosis, and degenerative disc disease.
Exactly 15 minutes after the treatment began, the pain was gone. I mean, it was amazing.
My primary goal is to get you or a loved one back to a pain-free and very active lifestyle. In just 3 days, most of our patients experience that relief. But if that's not the case, those 3 days are complimentary.
There's no pressure, I think you'll be totally amazed with the results.
Our consultations are always free, and we offer a 3-day, no-risk trial to all qualified candidates. Give ProSpinal a call today at 336-3472 or visit us online at prospinalinc.com.
Get the news you need on the go with the My News 4 app. Get breaking news, watch our latest videos, your up-to-the-minute weather forecast, and more. Download the My News 4 app, available on the iPhone App Store and Google Play. MyNews4.com and News 4 daily email still free.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel. As always, Dick Gamick is here, the Washoe County District Attorney. Allison Galdon is Vice President of Planned Parenthood. And Stacey Woodbury is President of Appearances LLC. And you used to be Frank's boss.
I did.
your thoughts on the interview?
You know, I think Mike made a great point. Frank has a huge job, and I know that the governor had wanted to take control of those local investment, workforce investment boards, and I think that is one of the things he still needs to pursue, because the size of his investment board, it makes it unwieldy, and I know the local boards have had some problems keeping up, and it needs to be coordinated. I mean, yeah. The way Frank was talking about working with higher ed and working with industry is something that we had started and put in place when I was in the governor's office, but there's still more that can be done to fine-tune and tighten that to get the jobs in, and it's so important with the unemployment still continuing to be high.
And actually, I would agree with that, too, because one of the things that happened recently that will be addressed at their upcoming board meeting on Thursday is an executive order issued by Governor Sandoval that is stating that they need to be in full compliance with the Workforce Investment Board, Investment Act of 1998. So that presents a new set of challenges for Dieter and for the board itself.
Do you get a sense of optimism from that interview?
I do, and but there's a lot coming down the pike. I mean, we're talking. You were mentioning the issue with health care and the capacity for health care. Once Medicaid is expanded, there's going to be a lot of people needing services. And you know, as someone who works in health care, we're aware of the challenges of where are all of these folks going to go, and how are you going to be able to provide them care. So that's just one small piece of a really big project.
When you look at this, how do you respond, Dick?
I think he's very optimistic on what we need to do, but it all falls right back to what we've had many discussions here about and everywhere else, and that's education. And we've got to get a well-educated workforce if we're going to support the jobs that are coming in here now, because there's a lot of technology coming in here. And I was even talking to my grandson the other day, and he says, you know, I really like working on diesel vehicles. And I said, fine, you know, you have to have computer skills, you have to be certified in all your different areas, you have to, I mean, all of it's becoming very technical, and that's where we come back to how are we going to handle the education issue.
Well, it seems that, you know, we've had Maria Sheehan on the program and Carol Lucy on the program, presidents of community colleges, and they seem very enthusiastic with the challenge.
I know Maria is. She is very enthusiastic on some of the programs that they're putting together now at TMCC, and she's in my Rotary Club, so I see her once a week, and she gets up and talks about some of these things, and they're taking on the challenge to go, and Mark Johnson is right there with her, and now we have Pedro Martinez in as the for the K-12 as superintendent, and the three of them are really working together with this very issue in mind of getting the education that we need in this state with limited resources.
You know, I'm sorry, Sam, but it's just a really good point. My brother's a machinist, and he was able to finish high school and go into machine shop and start his business. But, you know, that was 20 years ago. And now you have to have the education. Mm-hmm. You have to have computer technology skills. You have to have other skills that just a high school education is not enough.
You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, these jobs were obviously out there, and people were not fulfilling their role to be able to get these jobs, but yet it just seems like in the last year we've woken up to this fact.
Oh, I think we woke up to it a few years back when the employees started dropping.
But I think that we thought that, you know, manufacturing was gone from this country, that those kind of jobs were not coming back to this country, and yet they are.
Well, with the price of fuel and transportation of those goods, the cost is going up to get them made in another country. And particularly with something as complex as the machinist stuff, my brother-in-law went through the first program that Frank was talking about. He was one of the 18. And a lot of trigonometry skills. They had people that sat for the test, and they didn't have enough basic math to know that they were going to be able to get the trigonometry to be able to complete the training. So there were a lot of people that they tested into that program, or tried to test into into that program that just didn't have it on the high school skills, and we got to start back there and then work through the community college and college level.
Well, and also in the K through 12 area, do we have to make these jobs more glamorous in the sense that, you know, it's not necessarily that you're going to go to university and get a university degree, but you're going to go into these trades because they will, money will be made there.
And I think that's the glamour part of it, and that's what's going to sell it, that they can make a very good income by providing these providing these kind of services that these jobs present. So, obviously society is going to have a big influence in terms of what is considered a glamour job and not, but I think if you sell it from the monetary aspect and what these people stand to earn from making a living in this kind of profession, I think that'll do the trick.
I think we go back to the fact that we had an economy that was dependent on gaming, and you could park a car or go and become a dealer or build a casino, and you could pretty much go right out of high school and get that on-the-job training if you needed it, probably not to park a car. So we undervalued education for a long time in the state, and that's the core of the problem.
You mentioned something that I think is happening, and I hope it continues to happen, and that there seems to be an undercurrent now of bringing manufacturing, bringing a lot of this stuff back to the United States and not go overseas so much. And I think with the economic issue that's hit the whole world and the problems we've had, we can see more of that. We can see more companies coming back into this country and start putting us a little bit more self-sufficient again. I'm not talking isolationism, but I am talking get this country where we can manufacture, where we can do the technology, where we can do the things we need to do, and hopefully that's going to build. And if it does, we've got to have the workforce ready to take it.
And fracking is going to play a big part of that. You know, for us to be energy independent with natural gas and oil is going to be remarkable. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
They are courteous, fast, and responsive to all my needs, very competitive rates. They get the job done the first time, every time.
He did all my area rugs. They did my oriental rugs. And I'm satisfied with it.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's Forever Evergreen.
Attention, mothers and fathers of children with birth defects. The antidepressant drug Paxil has been linked to heart, brain, and spine damage, and many other horrible birth defects in newborns.
Birth defects are a family's worst nightmare. It's a terrible thing for a family to bear. If you are a mother or father and your child has a birth defect, the drug Paxil may be to blame.
I'm attorney Bob Goldwater. The manufacturer Paxil has agreed to pay more than $1 billion to settle hundreds of Paxil birth defect lawsuits.
Call the Goldwater Law Firm right now for a free legal consultation. You and your child may be entitled to financial compensation.
If you took the drug Paxil while you were pregnant and your baby was born with a birth defect, call us right now. You and your child may be entitled to financial compensation.
Call the Goldwater Law Firm right now.
Call the Goldwater Law Firm right now at 1-800-652-6767 to see if we can help. Call 1-800-652-6767. That's 1-800-652-6767.
Now there's a knife so sharp you can cut a pineapple in midair. It's the Miracle Blade 3 Perfection Series. You'll get my all-purpose slicer, also rock and chop, my filet and bony knife, my chop and scoop, my paring knife, 4 steak knives, my perfection shears.
But wait, we'll send you a second complete set of knives free. Just imagine, that's now nearly $500 worth of knives for just one payment of only $39.95. So call now.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, State Senator James Settlemyer will be here. See you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.